Good afternoon. It's a little bit warm. I've been to different parts of the world for missions, and I don't know why, but, and for those of you who know me, I don't do well with heat. But all the missions places that I went to, it's hot places. I've never been to a cold place. I went to Ecuador, pretty hot. But hotter in Africa. Africa I went to many times. But probably the hottest place that I've ever been to is Philippines. Philippines is like unbearable. I'm drenching. And this feels like a little bit better than Ecuador. So don't feel so bad. Okay, that's what I'm trying to say. Don't feel so bad. It's not like, you know, icy, cold, nice weather. But my heart really rejoices today. How about you? Anybody rejoice in your heart? I'm going to ask quote one more time. Maybe the heat is making you slow, but how many of you are rejoicing in your soul? Could you say amen?
Amen.
I really do today. This is 21st message on Book of Galatians, and we spent 7 months spending time with this incredible Book of Galatians. And I'm coming to the end. And I'm saying to myself, finish well. And for those of you who been to Newhart for many years, I always say that, finish well. Finish well. Do you finish well, or do you normally don't finish well? There are people who start semester strong and really don't finish well. There are people who start, a day strong, but you get into a fight and you get upset and you don't finish the day well. And my exhortation to you is finish this book well, okay? And what I want to say is, as I'm kind of spending last 7 months of my life at this stage of my life, and there are two pillars of truth that comes out of Galatians, and I want to share that with you. One is Christianity, gospel, salvation is by grace alone, faith alone, in Christ alone. That's salvation, okay? And we spend months talking about that. And that's what the Protestant Reformation was about. But the second pillar that I am really, really rejoicing these days is that, what about the rest of my life living in Christ? How do I live? And that life is in the Spirit of God. Did you hear me? These are the two pillars of Christian gospel. A lot of people do not understand the gospel. A lot of people, more people, I think, do not understand what it means to live as a Christian, which we call sanctification. Okay? First, we call that justification. And the rest of your life, we call that sanctification. If you understand both and walking in the Spirit, rejoicing, living the life, I think you hit the jackpot. There's no greater treasure. I simply say there is no greater treasure. If you understand the gospel and you are walking in the Spirit, which means Spirit of God is in you, I think there is no greater blessing. Can you think with me? Can you reason with me? If God is really dwelling in you, can you compare that to anything? Does it make any sense to you? Perhaps you're not, it is not being registered to you. The biggest difference between a non-believer and a believer is the presence of Holy Spirit in your life. Now, my word, that's what we've been learning in the book of Galatians and the scripture and Romans and Jesus' teaching. So the title of the message for today is, If We Live by the Spirit. My question is, what would happen to you if you live by the Spirit? What would happen to you? Would He make a difference in your life? My counter question is, if we do not live by the Spirit, then what does that mean? If you live by anywhere your sinful nature desires, whatever you want to live, what's going to happen to your life? That's a good question, and I want you to ask that question. I know you will be asking questions because Bible makes that and you know, that picture. If we live by the Spirit, this is the kind of life that you're going to live. He's going to, Bible will draw the picture for you. If we don't live by the Spirit, but by your own selfish, sinful nature, like the rest of the world, what is that going to look like? Whatever the case may be, one thing is for sure, that two lives will be very different. In fact, it'll be, the outcome will be polar opposite. And that's what the scripture is teaching today. So, we're finishing up the fifth chapter, and probably by end of August, we will finish the book of Galatians. And I want to just give you a little bit of review. Christian life is about freedom. It's about freedom. Freedom from slavery of sin. And how is that possible, that life is in the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit is not a mysterious spirit, but that's the Spirit of Christ, Spirit of God, Spirit who dwells in you. That's not mystical teaching. That's not Pentecostal teaching. That's biblical teaching. Spirit of God dwells in you. That means He lives in you. And He's not a power. He's not just knowledge. He's a person. So He tells you to go sometimes. He tells you to stop at times. He tells you to be patient. I know AC is not working, but be patient. Listen to Him. Look at Pastor Paul. He's sweating. Okay? You shouldn't pity yourself too much. Spirit will tell you. Spirit of God, if you read the book of Acts, is very, very personal. Sometimes He tells to go to that person, specifically to that person. Yesterday we went around the neighbor, our neighbor, and we do evangelism. And we invite you to come because it's such a refreshing thing to do. And before we went out, we pray this. Let's not try to give out massive number of tracts, but perhaps maybe one person that God has ordained that Holy Spirit will lead us to. Do you think that's a good prayer? Absolutely is. Because Christian life is being led by the Spirit. When? All the time. All the time. That's what Christianity is. I want to begin by a quotation by J.I. Packer, English-Canadian theologian. And he writes, "Holiness is the naturalness of spiritually risen men." In other words, if you are born again, you desire to be holy. That's natural. Okay? Just as sin is the naturalness of spiritually dead men. In other words, unless you were born again, you're spiritually dead, and God is very unnatural to you. Things of God is very unnatural to you. You don't have any desires. Okay? Comma. "And in pursuing holiness by obeying God, Christian actually follows the deepest urge of his own renewed being." I love that. That's Christianity, people. It's not something you do, you don't want to do. "Oh, I got to go to church. Oh, man. It's been a few weeks. I got to go to church." It's not like that. "Oh, I got to go to the Bible study. So, I better do it. Otherwise, something bad will happen to me." It's not like that. J.I. Packer is saying, for a renewed Christian, spiritually risen man, born again, which means that's God's work. That's a supernatural work. If you are born again, your deepest urge is to follow Him, to love Him. Okay? So I want to begin with that. Today, basically, as we finish up the fifth chapter of Galatians, Paul distinctively draws the picture of two very different kinds of life. Okay? One is one led by the Spirit, and the other is someone who's not. Someone who's living by your own nature, whatever you want to live, whatever your nature desires. Two very different lives, and there is no third option. Okay? That's what we're going to do. So, verse 18 says, let me just read. Verse 18 says, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So there are only two kinds of life. You are either being led by the Holy Spirit or not. Under the law means the law of God is written on your heart. Every single person, you know, law of God is written in your heart. And you cannot keep up with that. Therefore, you feel guilty. You know you are transgressing. You know deeply and deep inside you're guilty. You know you're that's why you're afraid of judgment. You're under a condemnation, under a curse. We talked about this for months. That's one life. Or you're living in the Spirit and living in freedom. Okay, two kinds of life. So in today's text, Paul draws a picture. It's really a picture or a sketch. It's not something you try. It's the sketch of the picture of a life. Two very distinctive kinds of lives that lives in the flesh or that lives in the Spirit. Okay, so let's begin. Here we go. I want to begin with a picture or the sketch or the evidences of a life that lives in the flesh first. And that's in verse 19, 20, and 21. Let me read it to you. Let me start from verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit. Walk, live. You don't walk 10 steps at a time. You walk one step at a time. That's exactly what it means. Live your life one step at a time with the Holy Spirit. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. We talked about this. The desire of the flesh, epithumia, is powerful. Powerful. You want it, and you want to see the end of it. You want something. You want money. And you want it. You want sexual fulfillment, and you want it. And you gotta get it. Here's my question to you. If Holy Spirit lives in you, he would have desires, epithumia. That's desires of God. What would that look like? Is it okay for us to not to have any desires of God in us? Something for you to consider, right? Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And here is the truth. The desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. So redundant. It's unnecessary. Why is it written like that? To emphasize. For those who are not in Christ, born again, they don't have the Spirit of God, so you have no option. You're living in the flesh. But those who are born again, and Holy Spirit lives in you, and then there is a spirit and flesh in you. And I'm keep emphasizing this. For these are opposed to each other. They are at a waging war, literally, enemies, which will deter your life. And perhaps even your destiny too, right? Opposed to each other to keep you from the doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then now two pictures of two very different lives. First, life that follows not God, not Holy Spirit, not Christ, but living whatever the kind of life you're living. Okay? Here's a picture. The works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, and sensuality. Sexual sin tops it. Okay? The outcome or the manifestation or the fruit and work of the flesh without the Spirit of God, what tops your life is the sexual immorality, sexual sin. Kind of interesting if you think about it. Because if you go to Revelations chapter 21, there are another list, something like this. The people who will not enter into the kingdom or heaven. And it tops with sexual sin. And I'm thinking about the world that we are living in right now. what really is happening in this world, what really stands out is the sexual revolution that's taking place. What the scripture says it is right, the society is saying it is wrong. What the scripture says what is wrong, the society said is right. Now, you need to make up your mind. Scripture is very, very clear about that. Okay? Sexual sin. What's the second manifestation of living in the flesh? I, you know, highlighted in different color for you to see that. Verse 20. The second category is idolatry and sorcery. So it is something spiritual in your heart. Idolatry. We spend weeks in the beginning of the year talking about idolatry. Idolatry is something you treasure and worship in your life more than God. It could be your child. It could be your business. It could be your career. I think for 21st century New Yorkers, career is oftentimes is the idol. Okay, it could be, I don't know, relationship. I just cannot. I worship my relationship. That's way above my relationship with the Lord. My job is, my salary is, my desire to attain possessions of this world is. Idolatry is the theme of the Old Testament, if you notice. Okay, so that's the second manifestation. And third manifestation is relationship manifestation. It doesn't look pretty. Okay, what kind of relationship manifestation? Enmity, you are enemies to one another. Strife, you're always quarreling. Jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions and divisions, and envy, eight of them. Okay, you're a very difficult person to work with, to be united with. Do you ever notice when you become a Christian, you are called to be united, become one? But until you become a Christian, very difficult to even talk to, relate to, very difficult to open to. It's not external, personal issue, it's a deep issue. Okay? And the last manifestation, Bible interestingly singles out drunkenness, alcohol issue. A lot of people say alcohol is neutral. You have to be careful. You really need to be careful. Because ask the Holy Spirit, is it okay to do that? Okay? So I'm not talking about alcohol issue here, but Paul and the scripture specifically speaks about the manifestations of people who are living in the flesh, living in sin. And first is sexual sin. Second is spiritual idolatry issue. Third is relational issue. You have a relationship problem with your parents, your siblings at work and church. Very, very difficult person. You're just not happy about anybody. You're upset at your father. Your wife is annoying. Your child is, headache. Everybody. Your boss is a jerk. Perhaps it's your issue, okay? And then the last one is drunkenness and orgies. So, just review a little bit. It's kind of interesting. Paul writes, the works of the flesh. Your nature works. It's kind of interesting. And the theme of Galatians is, salvation is by grace alone, not by works. When we say salvation is not by works of you, we're talking about good works. Good works, you cannot be saved. And obviously, because of the bad works, you could certainly not be saved. What Paul is saying is, in other words, by works, you could never be saved. Do you hear it? Okay, I hope you hear this. Sexual sin tops the list. Same thing in Revelation 22. Do you struggle with sexual sin? That's just the external manifestation of really what is happening inside. The word sexual immorality, porne, referring to sexual relationship outside the boundary of marriage. Premarital sex. Extramarital sex. Imaginary sex. Cyber sex. Sexual immorality. That's just the external, probably the most peripheral manifestation. And second is spiritual religious manifestation, idolatry, loving and worshiping something. You love your job. People, you know, I hear this. You love your comfort. What is that? You love your body. What is that? Above God, right? And the social and relational manifestation, enmity, strife, jealousy, and angry. If you are angry toward someone, if you're angry toward your family members, and that just grips you. You know, I want to explain something. When you hate someone for good, that's like worshiping. What do you mean by that? Worship is like you love someone at the center of your heart. But it is just the opposite. Hating someone is like worshiping someone in your heart. That's what's driving you. That's what's making you to be you. Okay? So these are the manifestations of living in the flesh. And the last one is the drunkenness and orgies and carousing and things like this. And Paul's warning. Here's the warning. Okay, I want you to hear this. Bible warns Christians. Okay, are you ready? Okay, here's the warning. I warn you, verse 21b, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You will not enter into the kingdom of God. Would you look at me? Oh, things will work out. No, it's not going to work out. It's not going to work out. This is the truth, and this is what the scripture teaches. In John chapter 3, Jesus said, unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Make no mistake about it. You will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? You will not enter into the presence of God in eternity. That's what it means. But I went to church. But I did some Christian stuff. It doesn't say that. Unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Can I just ask you something? Jesus said that. Why would he say that to you? Because he loves you. Because he loves you. Why would he say that to you? If I stand here, oh man, thank you so much for, you know, sticking together on this hot weather. You know, it's beautiful outside. You managed to be here. Wow, you must be a wonderful people. And you are. If I just say that, I'm a liar. I am not speaking the word of truth. I'm just pleasing your ears. I'm just tampering and playing with your eternity. I can't do that. I can't do that, people. Bible says, unless you're born of water and the Spirit. What does that mean? We saw that in Ezekiel 36 a couple of weeks ago. Water represents the word which will turn your life around. He's going to cleanse you. You're not going to continue to live in the pit, in the filth. You're not. You're not. Water and the Spirit. Spirit of God, which means God transforming your life. Unless you're born again, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And it's very similar. I warn you, as I warned you before, and those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, you know, Pastor, you know, I managed to be here. It's 90 degrees in this room, and you talk about this. Well, there's a good news, okay? There is a good news. You have to see where you are if the good news is going to be good news to you. Okay? So, second kind of life, second kind of picture, or the sketch of life, which is very, very different, I explained to you, it's very, very different, is the life in the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is, 9 of them, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I could memorize this, not thinking about it. You know, as a child, you know, what are the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Yep, you know, 9 things. But these are the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Not fruits, plural, but it is the fruit, which I think it is very important. This is all cluster one. It's not like, oh, I have a fruit of love, but I don't have fruit of self-control. It doesn't work like that. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Do you see the contrast? Do you see the contrast? You either live according to the flesh, having the fruit of all these sexual sin, relational issues, and spiritual issues, and drunkenness problem, or you have fruits of the Holy Spirit. Okay? I divided those nine things into three triads. Okay, again, love, joy, peace in red, patience, kindness, goodness in white, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And let me explain it to you, okay? These are the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is not what you try. Do you hear the difference? It's not the work of you. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. How do you bear the fruit? Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you abide in me, you will bear fruit. In other words, if you abide in Christ, fruit will be natural. Remember natural? If you're a risen, spiritually risen man, the natural thing is things of God. If you abide in Christ. Okay? And it's one fruit. So the first triad is love, joy, and peace. And this triad is first and foremost your relationship with God. Think with me. You love God. That's the fruit. And you rejoice because of Him. That's the fruit. And you have a deep, real peace with God. That's the fruit. Does that make any sense? Can you really love someone without having peace with God? It's going to be very difficult. In fact, it's impossible. You love God. What happens when you become a Christian, when you're born again? And we've been talking about this. God gives you a new heart. New Heart Mission Church. Ezekiel 36. In other words, God gives you a new nature. You are born of God, so He gives you a divine nature. Literally divine nature. Nature of Christ. And Christ loves. He loves the Father. So because you are born again, you love God. You love things of God. It's not like, oh, I got to do Bible study. Oh, I got to go to church. It's not like that, people. I'm just sharing this with you so that as you listen to the Word of God, you will have desire. Because that's how the Spirit just awakens people. If you don't have that, what is wrong with me? Maybe there is no life in you. Right? You love God. You rejoice because of Him. You rejoice even in the midst of difficulties. You rejoice because He loves me and He's with me. There is no life without any tribulations and difficulties in life. If you don't have it right now, I can promise you, you will face them. I could promise you. Okay? But you could still rejoice because if He has given His Son, would He not give all things? You rejoice because of His presence. You rejoice because of His great love towards you. You really rejoice. And you really rejoice to worship. You want to be here. You want to listen to the Word of God. You want to live a life that brings joy to Him. That's what it means. And you have this deep peace with God. Can I just ask you? Are you at peace with your family members? I know I'm just rubbing you in wrong ways at times, but I want to. Are you at peace with your father? Are you at peace with your brother? When was the last time you saw him? I've been doing ministry for long enough, and I know this question will affect some of you. I know someone who has not seen his father for 30 years. And after she met Christ, she literally searched everywhere to find her father to reconcile, bring peace. But without peace with God, there's going to be no peace with anybody. Second triad, now the first has to do with a vertical relationship with God, love, joy, and peace. Second triad has to do with your horizontal relationship with other people. Okay? Let's look at it. Instead of you are so angry and bitter and dissension and division, now you are long-suffering, patient toward another. Right? And you're gentle, kind, kindness, loving kindness, which means mercy. You're merciful toward another. Can I ask you, are you a merciful kind of person? Do you care about anyone else? That's the fruit of Holy Spirit, people. This life in the flesh, you're so self-absorbed, so either so proud and so depressed, you don't have any room for anybody. You're so busy about yourself. But life in the Spirit, loving kindness, right? And goodness. God is good, right? God is good. Last triad has to do with your relationship with yourself. You become a faithful person. As those of you who know me, you know that's one word that I really treasure. I don't think God could use unfaithful person. I don't think a job could use an unfaithful person. You'll be fired. But how much more for the Lord's work and life, right? Faithfulness. When we say faithfulness, what are we talking about? Someone who is persistent, consistent, reliable. For 2 days? No. The word faithfulness presumes longevity. How long have you been faithful to New Heart? We asked the elders. I was shocked. A couple months ago when we had an election, and I didn't think about that. We have 4 elder elects, and I asked them, how long have you been faithful to New Heart? 12 years, 13 years, 12 years, and 12 years. Did you notice that? Did you notice that, people? That's the fruit of Holy Spirit. I'm pretty faithful to one restaurant that I go to. I'm so stubborn with things like that. I go to one Chinese restaurant that I go to. One wife, one church, one job, one God, one life. Are you faithful? Would you say you are fickle? So many fickle people. So many unreliable people. So many come and go people. How do you explain that, people? One is living by the flesh, self-centered, simple nature, not according to the Spirit. The other is living according to God's nature, in the Spirit, living the life of Christianity. Faithfulness, gentleness, humble and meek. By the way, I've never seen faithful people who are proud. Faithful people are humble people. Humble people are faithful people. If you have a problem with faithfulness, perhaps you have an issue with your pride. Okay? Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Not out of control, not addiction, not like crazy about something, not consumed about stocks. I know that's a big thing these days. I know that consumes you. I know it drives you crazy. And you hate that, but you cannot help. Right? That's out of control. Out of control. You can't hear anybody. You cannot think of anybody. You cannot think of anything else because all you think about is stock and making more money. Be careful, people. I really want you to be careful. So do you see this? These are the fruit of Holy Spirit, natural outcome of walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit. I ask you this question in the beginning of the message. What would happen if I live by the Spirit? This is what's going to happen. Do you agree? If I do not live by the Spirit, what would happen? Sexual immorality, relational issues, idolatry, and alcohol issue. Do you see it? Okay. Do you see it? So, after comparing these two different lives, one in the flesh and one in the Spirit, I want to draw some conclusions that the Scripture draws. Okay, just a couple of conclusions, okay? Here are some truth and reality and a couple of conclusions. Number one, this life in the flesh and life in the spirit, they're in active conflict if you're a Christian. If you don't fight that battle, you're probably just yielding yourself to the flesh. And Christian life becomes heavier and heavier. Coming to church is becoming harder and harder. And your joy is just diminishing. Does that describe you? You know why? Because you keep on adding on all these fleshly things of the world. You can't really run the race because your body is just too heavy. Too many things to carry. Too many things that is attracting your heart. Your heart is so divided. There is no following Christ. There is none. So that's one thing. And these are in active conflict. And let's look at this verse. Verse 17 says, for the desire, the epithumia. It's not just, I kind of want it, but you want it. You're not going to stop until you get it. That epithumia of your flesh is against this epithumia of the spirit. And the desires, the epithumia of the spirit. Spirit has epithumia, you know. You know, God gives you desire. He does. If you don't have anything that's really passionate in you for Christ, you have to look at your heart. Read the book of Acts. Why would you not have any epithumia of the spirit? Epithumia of the spirit are against the flesh. Redundant, but you see the emphasis. Why? Because these are opposed to each other. Opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. If you're a Christian, true Christian, your natural drift is for God. If you're a Christian, naturalness, natural desires for Christ, but you won't be able to live it. And here's a picture that scripture draws of a true Christian battle. Romans chapter 7. This is a very difficult chapter, but very, very good chapter. I do believe, personally believe, I take the view of this describes Paul himself, true Christian. Okay? Here's what he says. Verse 7:22 says, I delight in the law of God in my innermost being. He really wants to live for the Lord. So it sounds like a Christian. That's not non-Christian. That's a Christian. That my new nature, new heart, new spirit, and life in the spirit, I really want to live that. And yet, verse 23 says, but I see in my body, the member of another law waging war against of my mind. There's something that is like bothering me, like fighting against that and making me captive. I'm following that sinful nature to the law of sin that dwells in my members. I explained this before. Before you become a Christian, you're a slave to sin. In other words, you have no option, but you're going to live in sin. You're going to continue to live in sin, and you're going to die in sin until you come to Christ. But once you come to Christ, that is no longer the case. You are no longer slave to sin. You are slave to righteousness. God, Spirit of God is God, and He lives in you. And there is your sinful flesh, but there is God in you. In other words, you do not have to yield yourself to sin all the time and beat up all the time. That is not the case. We're not talking about two equal opponents. We're talking about God and this little me. Do you understand that? I'm sharing this because I want you to know and have faith that you can live a Christian life. Spirit of God is God. And you are no longer under the slavery and bondage and mastery of sin and dominion of sin. You are in dominion of God Himself. And He gives you power and strength so you could live a Christian life, victorious life. Would you say amen if you understand this? Amen. Brothers and sisters, don't complain that, you know, oh, I guess there's nothing I can do. If I do quiet time, then I guess I'll be victorious. If I go to Bible study after this worship service, I guess I'll be victorious. No, it doesn't work like that. Once He purchased you, He's going to carry you to the end. It's not saved by grace, now live by your works. It's not like that. Saved by grace, and you become Christian by grace, by the Spirit. But Paul kind of concludes, there is this law that's pulling me, that I cannot do what I really want to do. And then he goes, oh, what a wretched man that I am. I am so wretched. That's what the Holy Spirit shows you. He doesn't show you, oh, you're such a great person. John chapter 16 says, Jesus said, Holy Spirit, Parakletos, comes. He will convict you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He convicts you of your sin. Oh, that's not good. No, it is good. Because when you see the sin, impossibility of doing it on your own, then what do? You really look to Christ. That's faith, people. So not only you are saved by faith, you live by faith. You are sanctified by faith. Do you catch it? If you understand what I just shared, would you say amen? No, this is so important, people. We call that Christian walk. If you are not doing this, you are living a religious life. I'm not sure where you are. Okay? What a wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Sounds so depressing. But the next verse says, Paul says in verse 25, but thanks be to God through Jesus Christ my Lord. There is that victory. There is that victory promised. How do you do that? That's my conclusion, verse 24 and 25. Two things. Okay, so how do we do that? It says, for those who belong to Christ, that's Christian, those who belong to Jesus, Christ Jesus, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. The first thing, what the Puritans call mortification of sin. The word mortify means kill it. You need to kill sin in your life. That's Christian life. You need to mortify, you need to crucify sin in your life. And if you notice, that's a present perfect tense. I have crucified, which means at one point at your conversion, true conversion, you really repented. I'm going to live according to my flesh. I'm going to live to him. I turn around. I want to live to him. He's my Savior and he's my Lord. That has happened. But important thing is that present perfect tense continues by the Spirit. So you continue to mortify and kill sin. In the Bible, we call that repentance. Can I just ask you, are you repenting in your life? Are you repenting? If not, you're not really walking in the Spirit, people. Are you repenting? Are you keep adding on things? Right? And find yourself becoming more and more sluggish. Coming to church becomes harder and harder. The Word of God began to bother me. Makes me, rather than rejoicing. Do you hear it? The Word of the Lord is my delight, Bible says. If you're in the Spirit, it is my delight. If you're just continue to live in that flesh, I got to find a different church. Right? My brothers and sisters, the first thing is mortification of sin. The second thing, verse 25, is living in the Spirit, and the Puritans call that vivification of the Spirit, which means to live. In other words, to die to sin is to live in the Spirit. That's what the Puritans used to say. That's Christian walk. If not, you're not really walking a Christian life. Okay? If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. If you want to walk, you don't walk 10 steps at a time. You walk one step at a time. Scripture is teaching you to walk with the Holy Spirit. Tomorrow morning, you go to work. And you talk to your Spirit, if you're a Christian. Spirit of God will remind you, hey, I'm with you. rejoice. I love you. You are my son. You're my daughter. With you, I am well delighted. I'm sending you not to just make money. I'm sending you to represent me. I know your boss is a little kind of like a jerk, but be patient with him, long-suffering with him. Be kind to him. I'll help you. Holy Spirit continues to guide and lead. Don't be greedy. I know that seems so, oh yeah, if you buy that stock, whatever, you could be instant millionaire. Don't do that. Trust me. Trust me. I'll take care of your life. Do you realize why gambling is a problem? Because you're putting your trust not on God, but something else. Chances. Holy Spirit will guide you. Keep in step, right? Live by the Spirit. Vivification of the Holy Spirit. The word walk by the Spirit, keep in step, is one word that I want to explain to you. Stoikeo, which is a military word. You walk with your soldiers. You walk with the Holy Spirit. Do you see yourself in steps with the Holy Spirit? That's how the scripture is telling you to walk. Follow me. Follow me. I'm going to put the path. You follow, follow me. If you don't follow your Holy Spirit, you're following your flesh. You get lost, right? The scripture is teaching, mortify flesh and vivify the Spirit. To kill sin is to be alive in your soul. Would you say amen? Many of you don't seem excited about Christ. I'm just being honest with you. That's not something that I could create or make you, suggest you. It has to be come from within. Do you agree? And that's what the scripture is about. That's what the gospel is about. I want to just close. Two pillars of Galatian gospel Christianity. Salvation by grace and faith and Christ alone. And Christian life by Spirit of God alone. Okay, this is very, very scriptural. Two pillars, people. Two pillars. A lot of times, people struggle with this area. Am I saved? Not saved? Am I a Christian? Not Christian? Get over it. Right? Surrender all to Christ. For good. And then walk with the Holy Spirit. These are the truth and the directives of the scripture. And I want to remind you, the victory is already earned on Calvary. For Christians, victory is not something you earn. That is already earned and accomplished and finished on Calvary. Can I just remind you? Would you say amen if you believe in that? Secondly, he promised to be with you till the end to finish it for you. Isn't that amazing? It's not your trying. If I slip, if I fail, then I lose. It's not like that at all. The promise of the scripture is, he who began the good work will carry it on till completion, until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is finished, and it is promised, and he will carry it out. I want to just encourage you. Christian life is not struggling. Am I saved? Not saved? Am I real or not real? Why is he offending me? It's not there. You're rejoicing deep within because God has given you life. Okay? What's going to happen if you live by the Spirit next year? I'm so excited about that. But if you don't live by the Spirit, what's going to happen to you? That's what scripture pictures. That's going to happen to you. It's already happening in you. You need to come to Christ. Let's pray.